Thank you, Brother Miles. Thank you, all of you who participated in the song services this morning. It was spirited, and we need the spirit to praise God with. And we ought to be happy and thankful because God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let us keep that in memory, especially around this time of the year when people are in giving mode. People are expecting gifts from people they don't know. It's good to be here. It's good to be alive this morning. And God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good once again. Let us remember that. Good morning to everyone. Glad to see all of you out this morning. And this morning, before we go any further, let us go to God in prayer. Bow with me, if you will. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we are so privileged and blessed to be able to stand before the footstool of thy mighty throne and call upon thy name. We're so thankful that you have allowed us to be here once again, that we were able to come out in order to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for every blessing that you have given us, and we pray for continued blessings throughout our lifetimes. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us to be able to get up this morning and blessed us to be able to come out and serve thee in spirit and in truth again. Thank you, O Lord, for all the things that you do for us, and we just pray and ask you to be with this congregation this morning. Be with the leaders and their families. Be with the brethren and their families who have taken part in the services thus far. Be with this entire audience this morning, O Lord. I thank you, O Lord, for so much, and you ask us for so little. All you ask us for is our obedience toward your word and to do your will. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut-in. We pray for Sister Taylor's nephew and Sister Taylor's sister who are both ill and going through it now. And we just pray, O Lord, that the young folk can be safe on the streets of this city. Lord, we have a great city here, but people are trying to destroy it. And Lord, we just pray that you not let it happen if it be your will. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray this morning for the service people all over the world standing guard at our front and our back doors, keeping us safe from hurt, harm, and danger. We just pray that if it be your will, that you give them the time and the space that they may be able to get back home before it's everlastingly too late. Amen. Thank you, O Lord. And Father, we pray for all of those that are sick in the congregation as well this morning. Father, we thank thee so much for everything and all things and anything. Thank you, O Lord, for our politicians. We just pray, O Lord, that they not make any rules and regulations that hinder us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you most of all for your Son who was sent to this earth to hang, bleed, and die on our behalf, and we're just so eternally grateful. Father, please continue to bless and watch over this particular congregation especially, but for all congregations of the churches of Christ that are holding up the blood-stained banner. We thank you for everything, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray this morning and ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I'll reread it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Yes, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Yeah. For God doth know that in the day of you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. For a little while this morning, we want to talk about the snake is still awake. The snake is still awake. When you speak of the word snake, it brings fear into the mind of most people. Whether it's a tiny snake or a huge snake, it brings great caution to most. I remember listening to the words of many of my relatives in the South who have stories of this fearsome creature. But there was a time when there wasn't so much fear in this creature as in our text. It is called by other names, a reptile or a serpent. The serpent we see today is more feared than in man's early existence. For if you look at our text, it was having a conversation with Eve, and the most part know the results of this conversation. Let us look to God's word to continue in this lesson. Man has given him the name snake. Yet in all my searching the word snake, I have not found the word in the Bible, in the scriptures, I should say. What does appear is the word serpent. A description of him can be found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. That word subtle means he was elusive and cunning and evil, but also wise. His wiseness is referred to in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16. Jesus told his disciple to be wise as serpents. A serpent is treacherous. They can poison one's mind and destroy us. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 9, they cause man to be compared to them as Jesus referred to the Pharisees and the scribes. In Matthew 10 and 33, ye serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? So we can see a serpent conjures up evilness. To take it a step further, Satan is described metaphorically as the serpent in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, where he is referred to as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Paul continues with a warning. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of that is in Christ. Don't let your mind become tainted and confused when Christ offers a simple solution for us, that is to trust in Christ. So how does the snake being awake affect us? Well, it's pretty simple. He will try to influence us just as he did Eve in our text in verse number 1. She tried to resist him a little by putting up her objection in verse 2 and 3. Let us look at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. But in verse number 2, the woman objected. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But in verse number 3, we see the conversation continuing. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. It did not make any difference. The serpent was determined to make Eve submit to his calling. So how can the serpent affect us today? Well, the snake, or the serpent, if you will creep into our marriages. Well. Now, I got some news for some of you this morning. If you're not married, I still submit to you that you can hear this part of this message. And I'm not trying to do a seminar on marriage this morning, but I got to talk about it for a little bit. He can slither right into a happy marriage, cause it to become confused, and cause us to have a disrupted marriage. He can cause abnormal things to seem like normal things. One thing I know for sure is that the serpent is almost about to have a victory dance, because the world has declared a new definition of the marriage contract. But I tell you this, we must be careful, for the Bible has not changed. The snake will tell you it's all right for you to shack up instead of tying yourself up. Notice Genesis verse number 3, chapter 3 and verse number 24. Look at verse number 24 if you will. So he drove out the man, verse number 22, and the Lord said, God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, I want you to notice something there for a moment, if you will. God has allowed man and woman to be married. Look at verse 24 of chapter 2. Verse 24 of chapter 2 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the wife, man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now I want you to notice something there. He prescribed marriage between a man and his wife. Now, I'm pretty sure that if you look at verse number 22, it says, in the rib which the Lord God had taken from a man, made a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, since there were only two people in the world at this time, the woman was brought unto that man, and this man and this woman became husband and wife. Now, I know what some may be saying now. Well, there were only two people in the world. Well, that's all right. The lesson is for us today that the marriage clause contract consists of a man and a woman. But I tell you this, we've got to be careful of what we do, because the Bible's meaning has not changed. I told you already that the snake will tell you it's okay to shack up. So they did not shack up. They got married. Someone may say in today's times it's not necessary to get married. Marriage is old-fashioned. The right and biblical way is the old-fashioned way, but that's the right way. Then there's the snake's way, and theirs is not God's way. The snake has convinced man to believe in what we are now calling a marriage contract. God never called it a contract. He said in Genesis 2 and 24 that the man should leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. They shall be one flesh. He never called it a contract. Marriage is between a man and a woman. They become united as one when they get married. Let us go over to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. Ephesians 5, verse 22, it says, I want you to notice this now. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now I want you to notice what it says there again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I don't care whether you like it or not. Wives, you must submit unto your own husband. Now, I'm not mad at anybody this morning, and I'm not trying to drive home any kind of points this morning. I just want you to see the truth of the Scriptures. And the Scripture says, submit yourselves unto your own husband. But then in verse number 23, it said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husband in everything. But then it goes in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I'm trying to show us how wide awake this snake is. He will twist what the Lord has told us to do and what he wants us to do. That's what he did with Eve. That's what he did with Eve. He said, surely, wait a minute, look at verse 3 all over, or verse 1 in chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit that's on the tree in the midst of the garden, we shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And I want you to notice what he said in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So he twisted it around a little bit, and he made her think that it was okay. He put a doubt in her mind. That's what he does to us today. He puts doubt in our mind. He'll tell us, if it doesn't seem right, you shouldn't do it. If it seems like it's too right, don't do it. He will twist what God has said to us and twist it around to make us think it's right. Marriage is serious business, and it should not be influenced by the thoughts and actions dictated by all the wrong ideas. For example, some no longer take their vows seriously. Watch out for the old serpent. He is still awake and he wants us to fail. Whereby God wants us to be saved in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 and verse 4. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And the snake does not want us to know the truth. Just as he fooled or lied to Eve, he will do the same to us in our marriages today. Life was going good for Adam and Eve. After after that all hell broke loose for Adam and Eve. Troubles were about to come into their lives, and so will they come into our lives. The snake will upset our marriages and cause us to become distant from God. Now, if you're not married, I got a few words of advice for you. Don't be fooled by the snake. Don't let the snake creep in or slither into your life and cause you to do what is wrong when you know what is right to do. The Bible has already told us what is right to do. Man is to leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. Now, what does cleaving mean? Cleaving means you don't leave. Cleaving means you stick there. And I'll tell you, I know a little bit of a thing or two about marriage, and I can tell you, the road is not always going to be rosy and cherry. The road is not always going to be smooth and easy going. But I say that anything worth having is worth getting through the bumps and bruises of life. Not only will he disrupt our marriages, he will disrupt our service to God. If you don't think the snake will try to disrupt you from serving your God, just take a look around you in any church today. Where is everybody? Where are the people? Where where there used to be full seats, they are now barely full. Notice how he came into the first lady of this earth's life. In verse number 5, he twisted her thoughts to lead her by lying on God's thoughts process, telling her what God knows. Yes, Eve brought into his cunning ways what God has already told her not to do. That same thing began to look good to her. So she ate, according to verse 6. Not only did she eat, but she, look at verse 6, if you will, for a minute. And the woman, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They both ate. God had told her what not to do, but she decided to listen to the snake and do what he told her to do. He told her it was okay, and he's still making men to question God's ways and causing men to fall into sinful ways today. He tells men things like, you don't have to serve God. I will give you more things than you can have with God. I'll give you more than you can have without. I'll give you more without God than you can have with God. He tried to tempt Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, offering him many things. And Jesus answered by telling him in verse number 10, thou shalt worship the Lord only, God only, and only him shall thou serve. The next Lord's Day, Satan tells you to stay in bed. The church will go on without you. Stay home today. Tell him what Jesus told him to be gone, Satan. Satan is a snake or a serpent. He is still awake and he is creeping, because be careful he does not creep into your life. In Revelation 12 and verse number 9, the Bible calls him for what he is, an old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Church, we must always stay alert for the snake, who is always looking for whom he can devour. We must learn that God is still the only righteous way. He may even try to make you quit going to church, make you think that you have been to church enough. Insert into your thought process that that's enough going to church, because you've been going to church all your life. You've gone long enough and nothing has changed, so just take time to consider this one thing. That if God calls you home while you're out of church, you means you didn't get back to church before you got called home. Do you remember in Luke chapter 12 of the parable of the rich man who did not think that death was close to him? It was Jesus who called him a fool and told him his life was required of him this night. We never know when or where death is and around what corner it may be waiting for us. So we need to stop letting the snake dictate our lives and let God guide you. We must learn that God is still the only righteous way. He has the righteous home, and he is the righteous judge who will one day judge us in the end. We must make up our mind who we want to serve, the creature or the creator. Decide where you want to live throughout all eternity, heaven or hell, with the Lord or with the snake. Now I want you to notice once again that it didn't take much to influence Eve, but the snake was so cunning that he went to work on her anyway. He said in verse number 1 again, has God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But I want you to notice this part, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Not only should you not eat of it, but don't even touch it. Don't even consider going by there and reaching up and grabbing a piece of the fruit of the tree. Because God said, ye touch it, and ye least ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. See, he tempted her, and he'll tempt us, making us think that we can become more than we really are. He'll make you think that you can become as powerful as God. You know, a lot of people are tempted by power. A lot of people like to have power within their grasp. They like to think that with power I can do anything, and I can do all the things that I need and all the things that I want to do. But I'm going to tell you something. God is still the owner and the creator of this world. And you cannot do anything more than God will allow you to do. And I want you to understand one thing this morning. If you allow the snake to influence your line of thinking, you'll disobey God completely. Now, what I want us to know this morning is that that snake is still awake. He's still trying to influence people. He's still trying to influence our young people. As a matter of fact, he has captured many of them already. They don't understand that life is precious. Life to some of our young folk are just a passing thought. When we get our young people in the mindset that they need to consider death before life, then something is wrong. And that's what they consider, death before life. Life means that I'll follow God's way and live from now on in eternity if I live right. But when I think about it, and I ask myself the question, whose side do I want to be on, the Lord's or the snake? And the answer is purely plain and simple. I want to be on God's side. I want to be on the side of righteousness so that I can live forever with him. And you know, Jesus has already gone and prepared a place for us. And when I think about that place that he's prepared for us, I ask myself the question. I put on a two-sided equation. And I say, heaven over here, and hell over here. And then I begin to look at the pros and the cons. And I tell you, I got more pros for heaven than I do for hell. Hell doesn't offer me much of anything except I can continue living in torment. Heaven means that I can live in eternity in peace and live with the Lord forever. But then I ask myself another question. You know, I speak to myself quite frequently. I ask myself another question. I say, is God's way the best way or is Satan's way the best way? And I come up with this answer. God's way should be the only way. And Satan should be the wrong way. But then when I look at the matter even further, I think of all those people that are gone on before us. Many of them never learned the right way. Many of them never considered the righteous way of God. But then you have an opportunity to change your way of thinking. You can change your way of thinking, and you can say, I'm going to follow the Lord and not the snake. Because the snake is awake, and he's been awake for years, and he'll continue to stay awake, and he'll continue to try to deceive us. He will deceive us into believing that right is wrong, that wrong is right, and that right is not right is wrong. But that's the way he works. As he deceived Eve, he shall try to deceive the rest of us as much as he can. Now, I don't know what your plans are in life, but I know what your plans should be in life. They should be to live on and on in eternity, throughout the ages of eternity. I thank God that he has given us an opportunity to do it right. I thank God that the opportunity has been given to us to live a righteous life. I thank God that he sent his son, Jesus, into this world to hang, bleed, and die. Now, I know that when you got up this morning, I know you should have thanked God for waking you up. I hope you did. And I know one thing about this life that we live in today. God is in control of it. God is in control of it, and God will do the best for us that we can, that he can do for us if we do the best that we can do for him. Now I ask you this question this morning. It's an important question. Do you want to live in eternity, or do you want to live in the burning fires of hell? And that answer should determine how you live your life. If you want to live in hell, just keep on living in the wrong way. If you want to live in heaven, start living in the right way. Now, for some of us, living righteously is easy. For some of us, it's the hardest thing for us to do is to live righteously, because we don't know how to live yet. We haven't figured it out. We haven't figured out that God is in charge of all of this. We haven't figured out that God knows everything about us, each and every one of us. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, we'll give you an opportunity in a moment here to come forward. If you've heard the gospel, believe it, repent, repent of your past sins, confess Christ to be the sweetest name in the Son of God, and then Brother Jackson will baptize you right here, right now. If you've done this a long time ago and you need to make amends for what you may have been doing, you ask the Lord to forgive you, come forward, ask the church to pray for you, that you may grow stronger in your everyday lives. As we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 520.